I come to this conference, I've been coming for 3 years, and every year when I come, I say we're about to launch the Rio. In 3 more months, it's going to happen. And I believe right now that it's going to happen on September 30th. We just had sort of the final meeting of the various stakeholders. They were supposed to actually sign memorandums of intent at that meeting, and they couldn't quite do it, and they're going to meet again in 2 weeks, and I hope they'll do it then, and I hope next year when I come, I'll actually have data from users, you know, showing what kind of activity is going on in our Rio, and maybe some early stuff on health status of the community, but we'll see. I want to make a couple of points just to start out with before I get into the details of how we intend to use health information exchange in our community. I just want to talk about one little narrow thing that local public health does, and that is dealing with foodborne illnesses. We do lots of other things. We feed hungry moms and babies. We do surface water. We do groundwater. We do immunizations. We do all this stuff. Let's just take one thing, which is foodborne illness. And I'll read the last sentence of the box in the top. It says, in the United States, foodborne diseases have been estimated to cause 6 million to 81 million illnesses and up to 9,000 deaths a year. So that's one thing that public health does. 9,000 deaths, that's a lot of deaths. That's a big public health problem. And so the summer of 2008 is going to be sort of a famous summer because of the Salmonella St. Paul outbreak. You probably had some of it in your community. And the thing that's important about that is, you know, a lot of times when people talk about health information exchange, they're talking about feeding data up the food chain to the CDC so we can have nationwide surveillance. And clearly, when you have a national outbreak like the Salmonella St. Paul, we do need a national surveillance system. And the system such as we had caught that outbreak and helped people figure out where it was coming from. But at the local public health department, I sat in on the outbreak investigation. We had 10 cases of this in our community. And so we had public health nurses, sanitarians, getting data on cases, jumping in their cars, going out to the sick people, whether they were at home or in the hospital, doing the outbreak investigation. Now in Michigan, we're fortunate we have the Michigan Disease Surveillance System, which is part of NEDS, and that worked very well in our community. We got some cases through the surveillance system that came from the labs to us. Others, we got the case reports and we entered it into the system, went up to the state and then ultimately to the CDC. But the point I'm making is, you know, you can't fight something like a Salmonella outbreak unless you've got the data going down to the local health department, onto the desktop of the public health nurse or the sanitarian who can go out in the field, collect the data, and come back and update it. That's the national surveillance system starts at the local level. So you can't do this, meaning HIE, without our participation. Very point I make every time I get a chance to talk about this. The second point I want to make before I get into the weeds on the details of our health information exchange is that the environment is very hostile to local public health participation. Right now, with health information exchange, there's kind of a gold rush mentality. Now, you don't feel it that much with your firm. You've got a lot of public health types here, but some of you probably went to the Health Information Management System Society conference this past winter, HIMSS down in Florida. Talk about a gold rush mentality. Wow, there's a lot of money chasing health information technology. And it makes it very difficult for local public health to move in that kind of environment. I want to say that HIMSS was very good to NACHO. They were extremely supportive, so I'm not attacking HIMSS. But the philosophy of pursuing health information technology has kind of stood on its head when you get outside of the public health conversation. For instance, we argue that we need to implement HIE, HIT, because it's going to improve efficiency. It's going to create access to health care. It's going to do a lot of things that we in public health think are important. But I think others see it quite differently. Obviously, if you're in the healthcare business, you're interested in selling more health care. You're interested in moving that product. And you want the ability to ask for something from your physician or to be able to order something, for a provider to place that order to be a mouse click away. You want it to be like shopping online. And so there's a lot of money out there driving this forward. And part of when I tell you about our approach and our strategy in Ingham County, what I want to tell you about is how we're managing sort of to swim with those sharks, have public health be at the front of the agenda, even though it's not what's motivating everybody who's out there. And one of the things that we struggle with, I think, in implementing health information technology and local public health is that even public health providers often aren't seeing the big picture. They aren't necessarily seeing the importance of having a nationwide system of standards-based system of exchanging information. We get into electronic medical records, sort of a siloed approach. I'm interested in driving my own business. I'm interested in having electronic medical records and a billing system so I can keep billing up, you know, Medicaid for my clients. If I've got an FQHC, I want that enhanced reimbursement rate, and that's what's keeping me going. And prevention starts to slip behind treatment. Vendors love to sell the big expensive EMRs, and the providers want to be able to bill, and so that slides that logic in a certain direction, and we in public health have to really remember, for us, it's all about that primary prevention. Okay, now about my regional health information organization. Quite simply, what we are is a messaging utility. We are providing our strategy. So let me back up one step. What we 3 years ago, when our regional health information organization was conceived, it was conceived as a freestanding, not-for-profit business that was going to operate in the community and provide health information exchange services, and that was going to cover its costs of operation. When we got started, there were no grant dollars available to us. It wasn't part of our business planning. We were thinking we were going to start this thing up with some initial investment, pay people back, and then just continue to operate, and that public health was going to be part of that. At its core, it's just a messaging system. It's a group of servers, and somebody like a doctor wants to order a lab test, and they place that order through that server. It goes to the lab. The response comes back to the doctor. Or in public health, say you've got a public health smoking cessation services provider, patient's been referred to you, you have access to the client's medical records, you update it after the smoking cessation visit. When that person goes back to the doctor can see, oh good, you've been going for your smoking cessation visits. And so it's a system for exchanging messages. We are about to sign with a vendor, and it's standards, CCHIT certified. So we're using the same standards that others are. We're going to provide a ton of other functionality, which I'm going to get into as I go through this, but it will be provided, all of it derived simply from the messaging services. As it turns out, as things went along and the gold rush in health information exchange started, we now have attracted considerable amount of financial support. The state of Michigan, in a desperate fight to deal with Medicaid costs and things like that, is trying to support 9 RIO projects in Michigan, get them up and going. And since we were the first out of the box, they gave us a $1.4 million grant. That's what that September 30th deadline is. If we can sign contracts by September 30th, we get that $1.4 million. So everybody's attention is very focused this month on getting that contract signed. And the nice thing that I'll show you more about as I go through my talk is that there's a good balance between public health functionality and clinical functionality, and I'm going to talk specifically about how we made that happen. One of the things that we do is we're constantly thinking about what can draw, since we want to be a freestanding nonprofit corporation and cover our costs of doing business, we're constantly thinking about what can we do to provide services to our expected customer base, which is going to be the physicians that are going to use us. And this is an example. Right now, if physicians prescribing for Medicare patients use e-prescribing, they get a 2% bump in their reimbursement. And so with the vendor who we are going to sign with, they have an e-prescribing function built in. And so when we roll out after September 30th and we're going out into the community, we're visiting docs and we're saying, hey, we want you to sign up and participate in this, we'll be able to say, and you automatically have e-prescribing. We think only about 15% of the physicians in our community currently have access to any kind of e-prescribing, and they'll be able to do it right out of the the Rio software when they come on board. This is one of those diagrams that purports to show the structure of something and actually is just a placeholder to remind the speaker to talk about it. At this point, this is not actually how it works. It's just a PowerPoint slide. Basically, the product that we're getting from our vendor is an email system. It's actually based on SMTP, the Simple Mail Transfer Protocol. It's just a big email system. People sometimes ask me, especially when I'm talking to local public health directors, but okay, you talk about a Rio, you talk about Exchange, but what is it really? Really, I want to be able to see what it is. What it really is an email system. It's based on that fundamental, you know, web-based email transfer of protocol. And so there's a lot of, one of the options that participants have is to use a web-based interface. And when you first look at it, you say, wow, this looks a lot like an email inbox, which is exactly what it is. The product that we're going to roll with actually has many, many different things that it can do, including immunizations, e-prescribing, management of a patient record, and a whole bunch of different functions. But that's all based on sorting through stuff that's essentially just email and presenting it on the screen in different formats. So it, in our community, is just a big email system. And all the other functionality, including building analyzable databases and so on, comes off of that. I want to see how I'm doing for time here. Oh, we're doing great. Okay, in order to get where we wanted to go, in order to get the functionality, the public health functionality built into this project, we had to participate deeply at every level of the project. One advantage that our community has is that there's an organization called the Capital Area Health Alliance, which is a roundtable of basically everybody who has anything to do with health in our community, and that includes local public health, hospitals, payers, all the other folks are there at the table too. But that means that when the conversation started about we should do health information exchange, we were involved in that initial conversation. We were involved, so then when we got into the planning process, we hired a consultant to go around and look at everybody who could conceivably be involved in the project and estimate a return on investment for them. Look, if you jump in, employer, if you jump in, hospital, if you jump in, individual physician, there's going to be a return on investment to you. What will that be? And we were involved in that, and a return on investment was calculated for local public health too. And that was really important, because when those meetings occurred, people could see us there, could see that we had skin in the game, just like everyone else. Then we went through a stage of specifying the functionality. This was very important to be there. We got one of those Robert Wood Johnson Information Links grants that helped us do this, but believe me, we would have done it anyway. And so in the early conversations about, well, what kind of product do we want? What are we going to ask vendors to propose to us? We were right there, and we were able to say, disease surveillance, extract databases for research and quality management, hook up to the statewide immunization record system, all these different things that we wanted, and we were right there. Basically, and there's other things listed up there that were important. We went through a complex series of negotiations with partners. We were part of that, bylaws writing. Basically, you need to be there when you do your initial business plan. You need to be involved in the project when you specify the functionality. So the public health functionality is written into it. When you send out that RFP to the vendors, it's got to have that public health functionality into it. And this, you need to be at the table when the vendor's selected. And finally, public health participation needs to go right into the bylaws of the organization so that you're in there just like everybody else. So what functionality have we been talking about? There's a lot of it. I just want to talk about five pieces at this point. We've got surveillance, meaning disease reporting. We've got registries. I'm going to talk about our birth to death registry that started as an immunization registry. Care coordination, another flavor of surveillance. This is looking at the data that's inside the system, so stuff like MRSA, VRSA, tracking quality within our RIO, and then extracting data for research purposes. And each of these turn out to have their own sort of return on investment and their own logic and their own way in which they support the overall mission of the RIO. So the Michigan Disease Surveillance System was something that was built by the state of Michigan as part of the national rollout of NEDS. They got some grant dollars to do that. And this, the thing that I love about this is it's standards-based. It's based on HL7. And it was, so right now it's a web-based system. So our public health nurses use it. They sit at their desks. They've got, they can list currently active cases of reportable disease that they're tracking. They can open a case and update it, get more information on it, and so on. And it reports to the state, and the state generates reports on reportable diseases. But it's actually an open standards-based system. You don't need to talk to it through that web-based portal. Anybody can send and receive data from this thing if you know the standards. And so this is going to be our Hello World public health project in the RIO. It's going to be the first thing we did. And so we started out early on by actually meeting with the vendor that built this thing for the state, getting the standards, documenting that, and folding those into our request for proposals from vendors. And so, you know, so vendors need not apply if you don't have any experience working with NEDS. And so we only got vendors that we knew could do this stuff. So real important for us initially, having this system out there that was standards-based and was ready to play. If it wasn't standards-based, and our local RIO came to be, and we said, hey, we want to do electronic disease reporting through the RIO, you know, we wouldn't have had anyone to connect to. So very important. And I should add, the state wants to do this because they believe that even though we have, disease reporting is required by law in the state of Michigan, and we have the Michigan Disease Surveillance System, they are convinced that there's quite extensive underreporting of notifiable conditions in the state, and they want to. So that means there's sick people out there walking around, making other people sick, and we don't know about it. And they believe that if these 9 RIOs come online, and all the information that passes through that RIO can be scrutinized to see if it's reportable or not, they're going to get a lot closer to 100% reporting. The second project that we're going to do is work with the Michigan Care Improvement Registry, also a standards-based system, also created with the vision that someday somebody out there, who knows what it'll be, but somebody's going to want to communicate with us. It started as our statewide immunization registry. It's now expanded to a birth-to-death registry. The vendor that we have selected has an immunization module inside of their technology, and so the physician will be able to open the page, update the immunizations, press go, and it'll update the data on the immunization registry, and they'll be able to extract from the registry to see if a patient who appears newly to them has their immunizations up to date, etc. Something that we are extremely concerned about, and the state is extremely concerned about, is the management of chronic conditions in the uninsured and underinsured population. The model that we're developing locally is that physicians will be able to delegate to other providers, for example, a smoking cessation services provider or a diabetes counselor, the ability to open a patient record, see certain parts of it that the patient has given consent to see, and then be able to update that. And again, with the vendor who we are working with, that's part of the functionality that they offer, that we will be able to do that. This is real important, again, for the state of Michigan because Medicaid costs are exploding, and it's also real important for us because if we provide these services and they're billable, you know, we're doing things that are covered by Medicaid that we'll be able to recover those costs of doing that. Finally, the real value, the ultimate, you know, the gold standard in terms of working with health information exchanges to get to the point where you are able to extract data and study it, to look at health status, the health status of a population, or to do quality improvement. And we have built into our specifications that we're going to launch on the 30th of September that this be part of the product. We went with the vendor that we did, that's this big email system, because we need physicians to participate. If physicians use our RIO, they go through that web-based interface and it takes a long time to load a web page, they're not going to want to participate. They won't subscribe, they won't pay, and they won't stay in the game. Then we won't know the health status of our population. We won't have data to extract and analyze. So we went with this messaging system because it's got, on average, 2-second response time, and something like less than 1% of all the pages ever called take as much as 10 seconds to load. So it's a very fast system. The physicians will experience, well, they'll have a good experience of using the internet to communicate with our RIO. And we know this is happening because this product's implemented in other cities and people are using it and it's working. So, since it's an email system, it's not a normalized database. You can't run SQL queries against this thing and get, you know, show me, you know, what proportion of children under the age of 12 who have been diagnosed with asthma have been prescribed and have filled prescriptions for, you know, their asthma medications. You can't do that. You've got to pull the data out and analyze it separately. So we had to be very clear with our vendor that they were going to provide the tools so that we could do this. And that's been part of the whole discussion as we've gone through this process. What product do we want that's best for our business? And then can it also fulfill the public health functions that we need to have done? And one of the things, because we've done this, one of the things that's happened that's really cool for us is that employers are starting to believe that they'll be able to get secondary products from us. They'll be able to work with us to understand the health status of their enrollees that are in the system. And so we've got General Motors now and the state of Michigan both coming to the table, both part of the conversation heading for September 30th, ready to put money into this because they think that it's going to help them drive down their costs of health care. So it's really exciting to be so close. And at the same time, as you know, if something goes wrong now, that $1.4 million is going to go to another county in Michigan. Maybe Frank will be jumping up there to grab it if we don't land this by the 30th. But we're very close and very excited. And so thanks for your attention.